with the hurricane and with all the stuff still trying to be rebuilt and all the stuff that's going around and all the things that's happened, I'm still going to sacrifice a praise to Him. I mean, come on, more time. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. Glory. Sing it again, son.
So I'll bring my heartfelt being through the
yes.
So I'll bring my storm tossed, torn self, story tell. Faithful forever, I feel it on faces. So I bring my heartfelt heart on, it is well.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes! Glory! Glory! Glory, God is so good. Get your Bibles out. This actually is not the last day of spiritual warfare, but the last day of armor. Today is the last day of armor, so turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We got a few more spiritual warfare messages, but no more on the armor. We're talking about prayer. I'm going to tell you a little story. This is supposed to be a true story. You can be seated for a minute, then we're going to stand up and we're going to pray. But you're going to be seated for a minute because I know that you're just ready to run around after all that good praise and worship. A pastor of a local church had a kitten that climbed up a tree in his backyard and was afraid to come down. The pastor coaxed, offered warm milk, etc. The kitten would not come down. The tree was not sturdy enough to climb, so the pastor decided that if he tied a rope to his car and drove away when it was hooked to the tree, when the tree bent down, then he could reach up and get the kitten. He did all this. He hooked up the rope to the tree, and he hooked up to his vehicle, and checking his progress of his car frequently, then he figured out if he went just a little bit further, the tree would bend sufficiently for him to reach the kitten. But as he moved a little further forward, the rope broke. The tree went boing, and the kitten instantly sailed through the air out of sight. The pastor felt terrible. He walked all over the neighborhood asking people if they'd seen a little kitten. Nope, nobody had seen a stray kitten. So he prayed, "Lord, I'll just commit this kitten to your keeping," and went on about his business. A few days later, he went to a grocery store and met one of his church members. And he happened to look into her shopping cart and was amazed to see cat food. Now, this woman was a cat hater, and everybody knew it. So he asked her, "Why are you buying cat food when you hate cats so much?" She replied, "You ain't gonna believe this." And told him how her little girl had been begging for a cat, and she kept refusing. Then a few days before, the cat had begged again. So the mama finally told the girl, "Well, if God gives you a cat, I'll let you keep it." Then she told the pastor, "I watched my child go out in the yard and get on her knees and ask God for a cat. And really, pastor, you ain't going to believe this, but I saw with my own eyes a kitten suddenly came flying out of the blue sky, paws outspread, and landed right in front of her." Watch what you pray for. Amen. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Stand one more time. Ephesians chapter 6. God is so good to us. Ephesians chapter 6. God's got this all the time. Y'all say it. All the time. God, there we go. God has got this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I hope that y'all can say this by memory now. We've heard it for 22 weeks. We've done spiritual warfare for 22 weeks. Wow. Wow. We still got a week or two to go, but this is the last week of the armor. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your goings girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here's a very powerful weapon in our arsenal that we sometimes leave out when we're doing this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Stretch forth your hands this way. Ask God for a special touch and anointing. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne. And we give this day to you because we know, God, that you've got this. And we're going to trust you all the way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, look at somebody and tell them, I know I do it a lot, but it's okay. Because we need to hear it a lot. Look at somebody and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right, y'all can be seated. Wow, 22 weeks. Lordy, lordy, lordy. Man, you've got, actually, I think if you were taking it as a college course, you would have a semester now of spiritual warfare. Amen, amen, amen. Just a few, just to get us through here. You're going to get through this not because you're strong, but because God is. Remember, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. We've talked about that. And God said, I'll build my church. The devil knows he can't stop it, but he's going to do his best to stop you. Now, don't raise your hands, please, but how many times has Satan stopped you from moving through God's church and letting him use you? All right? So now, get ready. We're just going to go through quick with all the other armor real quick like. All right? I realize we're equipped for battle, and he says put on the whole armor. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. Go ahead and do it. And so there's three specific categories. We've gone through all of them. This is the very last one today. And that is your loins girded about with truth, your for the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and here it is. We started it last week, and that is pray on it, pray over it, but most of all, pray through it. One of the most awesome times of prayer that I can think of, and it made me chuckle, was when I called Dudley, and I said, Dudley, I want you to pray about something. He said, okay. What do you want me to pray about, Pastor? I said, I want you to pray about being a deacon. I said, just take your time and pray about it, and let me know. And he said, I'm ready. I said, did you pray about it? So I was praying about it while you were talking. All right. Pray on it, pray over it, but most of all, pray through it. So now it's the armor of communication. We had the sword of the Spirit. Now, praying always means the whole period to pray without ceasing. Now, how many times can you really say that your life on a daily basis, you're praying without ceasing? Think about it. Anytime you stop, you're looking at something, you say, God, I need your direction here. God, touch that person right there. God, please work with that person over there. God, show me where you want me to be today. Put me in the places that you want me to be. That's praying. That's praying all the time. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be at the altar 24/7, but you can be in constant communication with the Father. So now, why does the devil try to stop us with him not ceasing trying to stop us? One good reason we should pray is God can do more in 1 second than we can do for ourselves in a lifetime. Here it is. This is where we stopped last week. Prayer is how we commune with God. Number one, it's powerful. Number two, it's responsive. God does answer our prayers. Whether we know it or not, God is answering your prayers. Just some take more time. Some he answers in a different way than we were expecting. Then, it is part of the armor. And number, and why we got to yield to him. If we can yield to God, it's amazing what God can do with us. The prayers are a very powerful force, and it's life-changing. So now here we go. Get ready. We're getting ready to really, really, really dive in. Now again, I want y'all to listen very carefully as we do this, because I want us to understand prayer and the power of prayer. The most powerful, yet the most, listen carefully to me, please. The most powerful, yet the most impotent force in the earth is prayer. I won't mess my words up. I didn't mess it up. The most powerful and the most impotent, the least powerful force on the earth is prayer. It's powerful when we utilize it, and it's impotent when we keep our hearts and our minds and our spirits shut. God didn't move for me. Well, did you talk to him? Did you ask him about this? Did you seek him? You see, through prayer, we're kept in a condition of spiritual alertness. Our senses are kept sharp, and our senses are kept alive. And so something very special. We talked about the prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. So now get ready. Paul, I didn't know how much to put up there. I don't know if you're taking notes and what you wanted to do about it. Paul calls us to one of the most powerful weapons available in the arsenal of our spiritual warfare weapons, and that is prayer. Paul saves it for last in this list. It's amazing. He saves it for last. Now, why did he save it for last? It's the most important weapon that we all possess. It was funny about the girl praying for the cat. But I've had little kids come up to the altar and I say, what is it? What are you wanting? And I'm expecting something juvenile. And they go, pray that my mama and daddy quit fighting. Pray that my daddy comes home. Pray that I can be a good boy, be a good girl. And when I hear that, I think about God saying, you got to come as a child. Wow, that's some powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. Now, although it's the most important weapon, not that it should be used as a last resort. That's the problem. Although it's last, it's not the last resort, okay? Not that it should be used as a last resort or when everything else fails. Well, we've tried everything else. Let's pray. Guys, has your wife ever give you something to put together and you, as a last resort, decided to look at the instructions? Oh, come on, guys. Be sincere and honest. Yes, there's times. Wife said, how come you got 4 pieces left over? Well, that's just extras. No, I didn't read the instructions. The same way. So many times. We could avoid a lot if we would just learn how to pray. He tells us to pray on all occasions. Not only to pray on all occasions, but to always keep on praying. Don't stop. I know, I think about my own life. My own life is a life of prayer. I may not be down on my knees, I may not be with my hands raised, but I can promise you, my life is a constant warfare of prayer, because I'm always thinking when I'm thinking about somebody. Matter of fact, you're riding down the road and all of a sudden somebody comes on your mind and you start thinking about that person. You know why they came on your mind? Many times it's so, is God saying pray for them. Sometimes it's not just pray for them. Sometimes you need to contact them and make sure they're doing okay. So he told the church at Thessalonica, he said, I want you to pray without ceasing. So why did he say pray without ceasing? Why? When God's warriors get down on their knees, the battle isn't over. It's just begun. Wow. God tells us to pray. It's a divine connection to an omnipotent. It's an omnipotent. Good God. Now I did mess up. It's a divine connection to a potent God. Praise God. You got to take your notes. I'm going to work it out right now so I know I messed up. Sometimes you get working late at night and you're getting phone calls and stuff and you're just going, okay, I'm trying to talk to you. I'm surprised I haven't put up there, you know, instead of putting Ephesians 6:18, I put DC's phone number. Because nothing is impossible to God. Nothing is beyond the reach of prayer. Let me just explain something to you about prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Why did you say pray? Because just like everything else, there's categories of prayer. It's one thing. Matter of fact, have you ever got to the table and you say, Lord, bless this food, let it nourish our bodies. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. When I was Mr. Mom for 3 years, I remember going to eat at my mother-in-law's house, and the boys didn't pray before they ate. And I said, boys, why are you waiting until after the meal to pray? They said, because grandma's cooking. We don't need to pray before. One day, D.C., I said, D.C., it was Thanksgiving. He's like 4 years old. And I said, pray, son. He said, I don't want to pray. I said, pray for this meal. He said, I don't want to pray, Dad. I said, if you don't pray, son, you're going to need prayer. And he said, Lord, I thank you for putting a feast or filling my table in the presence of my enemies. Prayer. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and persistent. Your prayers for all believers everywhere, Ephesians 6:18. So let's just talk about a little bit about, there's public prayer. Talk about some of the prayers. There's public prayer. There's private prayer. There's individual prayer. There's corporate prayer. There's long prayers. There's short prayers. There's standing prayers. There's sitting down prayers. There's lying on your face prayers. There's pray while you walk prayers. The prayer of faith, the prayer of petition, the prayer of intercession, the prayer of submission, the prayer of repentance. This is what the Bible talks about. This isn't me making this up. This is the Bible. A believer has not even begun to fight until he prays. Now, let's get really, really. Y'all want to get deep? I mean deep, 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 deep. Now, I'm getting ready to probably be very controversial, so that y'all got to listen to me. Listen to me good. When you feel totally overwhelmed, remember this. God is fighting for you. He's fighting your battles for you. You might not realize how difficult that fight is, but God is fighting for you. Get ready. Paul is calling for more than just prayer. He's calling for specific prayers. And he's calling for a lifestyle of prayers. Matter of fact, there's three things that he says about prayer here. Number one, it must be constant. You got to pray. You got to pray, you got to pray. Our tendency is to pray only when there's a great crisis in life. Or when it's dinner time, or when it's bedtime. We need to daily pray because we need daily strength. It must be intense. He says, pray in the Spirit Limp prayers never got a man anywhere. Prayer demands the concentration upon God. It must be unselfish. The Jews had a saying, let a man unite himself with the community in his prayers. Oftentimes our prayers are just too much about ourselves and too little about others. Don't raise your hands. I learned when I was taking counseling that when I'm actually counseling somebody, and I try to do it in conversations, period, I should listen. Y'all maybe could learn from this. I don't know. I should listen 80% and only talk 20. Listen 80 and talk 20. Not only that, I don't just listen to respond, I listen to understand. Tell me more about that. Show me how. What are you talking about? Explain that to me. And then let them actually talk. Wow, it's amazing. Well, the same thing is going on when you're praying to God. God's listening. He's talking, but he's letting you lead the conversation, at least in the beginning. So now, watch this. Get ready. Here it goes. Paul calls on Christians to pray in the Spirit. Number one, why did he say that? Number two, what is it? You can look up all these theological books. You can look up Theology 101, 202, 404, 10010. It doesn't matter. You can look them up. And like I heard a man say the other day, if you're talking to three Jews, you're going to get six different opinions. If you're talking to three Christians, you're going to get six different opinions. So I'm going to tell you how I interpret this. He's not talking just about speaking in tongues. Because he says, pray always. How are you going to communicate with somebody if you're always speaking in tongues? Paul said, I'd rather speak two or three words in a dialect you can understand than to just speak it forever in tongues. I'm not discounting tongues. I believe in the power of tongues. I understand all that. But this is more. This is something inside. This is a divine connection. Just like John, when he's on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In the Spirit, which that word means literally, if you look it up in the Hebrew or the Greek construction, he was spiritized. He had a divine connection with God in order that he could hear and see what God was trying to show him. Sometimes, especially if we're going to talk 80% of the time and listen maybe 20%, you can't hear what the other person's saying. You have no idea what they're talking about because you won't be quiet. The same way with God. Sometimes you just need to be quiet before Him and get so intense with what God is doing that you find yourself spiritized. I don't mean some, you know, I'm just talking about you're so tuned in to God that He'll show you how to pray. He'll show you who needs prayer. He'll show you how to pray. You know, history records that on August 6, 1945, after four long years of war with the Axis of Evil and years of research and development, which took place not too far from us, President Harry Truman gave the order. U.S. troops on board the B-29, Enola Gay, dropped an atomic bomb nicknamed Little Boy on Hiroshima, Japan. A minute after being dropped, the bomb exploded in a fireball with a magnitude which had never been seen before. That and the bomb that was dropped on Nagasaki 3 days later brought a clear and decisive end of years of death and destruction. before the Second World War. Of the Second World War. In Iraq, I heard a lot of talk about the Moab. Anybody ever hear about the Moab bombs? Moab? Moab means massive ordnance airburst bomb. It's the most powerful conventional non-nuclear bomb that was ever developed, and it was being used in Iraq at the time by the Allied forces. Sometimes, when you're in spiritual warfare, you ain't got time for a little "Lord, lay me down to sleep" prayer. I remember one day this was during all the time when I was Mr. Mom and all the stuff was going on, and Beverly was sick and all this stuff was happening and she was dying, and I remember very clearly for several weeks when I get off at lunchtime at Fountain and I'd drive home and lay on my face and I'd pray. And I said, "God, you got to show me how to handle this. You got to show me what's going on. Help me." And every day at lunchtime, I'd lay on my face. I wouldn't eat. I just laid on my face. Literally laid on my face with the Bible in front of me. And I remember one day going to prayer. I looked up. I saw it. I looked up and saw the trees going down Possum. I was going down Possum Track. And I saw the trees. And on top of the trees, I saw a gold block. And the gold block followed me until there were no more trees. A couple of miles, it followed me. Then it just disappeared. And I went home and I got on my face and I said, "God, I don't understand. You got to tell me what to do." And then it hit me. David in the valley of Baca, God said, "Don't you do anything until you hear the rushing in the top of the mulberry trees." And mulberry trees are weeping willows. "Until you see me on top of what's killing you and what's hurting you and what's bringing so much pain. When you see this and you see it go, and then you move. But until then, stay still." And it was amazing how God took care of everything right in the middle of all that pain. I'm here to challenge you, some of you right now. If you could learn how to connect with the Spirit, God's Spirit in you. Yes, it may include speaking in tongues. Yes, it may. I'm not here to doubt that at all. But it goes deeper than that. This is so deep. This is you, a divine connection with God, and you're just listening. And you're letting God tell you what you need to do. Been so many times I've been down on my knees praying, or I'm really just getting in there with just me and God. And I said, "Okay, God, I'm grabbing the horns of the altar. I'm not letting go." And it's so amazing how afterwards he puts somebody in my heart or shows me a way to do a certain situation, and I do it a certain way. And it's amazing how God showed up and took an impossible situation and made it possible. So, to pray in the Spirit is to pray under the influence of the Spirit. To be guided and led by the Holy Spirit of God in our prayers. I'll tell you one where God really just showed up and showed off and made it funny. I had a meeting, and in this meeting, there's about 30 guys. And I prayed, man, I prayed before I went in that meeting because I knew there was some dissension and I knew there were some problems. And while we're going through this meeting, one of the guys looks at me and says, "I hear you're counseling. some of these people? I said, I sure am. Well, can you tell me what's going on? I said, nope. And he said, well, what about? I said, nope, I'm not going to tell you anything. Nothing. And so the guy got very irate, and I'm praying the whole time. He already prayed before the meeting, I'm praying right now, and everybody's just listening to him jump me. And he said, just, is it working? Just answer yes or no. And I said, I'm not going to answer it at all. And he said, just answer yes or no. You can answer any question, yes or no. I said, no, you can't. You can't answer any question, yes or no. He said, you can answer any question, yes or no. True story. You can answer any question, yes or no. I said, I'll tell you what. The Lord just dropped it right in. I said, okay. I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to ask you a question, and if you'll answer it yes or no, just yes or no, if you'll answer, I'll answer yours. He said, okay. He said, let it rip. You can answer any question, yes or no. I said, well, let me tell, go ahead. He said, go ahead, try it. And I said, okay, man, do you still beat your wife? He had never beat his wife. They got along good. I said, do you still beat your wife? He says, you know. I said, yes or no. He goes, but I have now. No, yes or no. He said, you can't do this to me. I said, yes or no. Do you still beat your wife? And he said, just go ahead, Pastor. I don't even care anymore. Just go ahead. And so we went through with the meeting. Everything was perfect. God blessed. And when I went home, I got about 10 or 15 phone calls saying, we just watched Solomon divide the baby. And I said, it weren't me. I said, the Holy Spirit dropped it because me and him were in a deep conversation. At the same time, I was in conversation with that guy. It's important to be led by and guided by the Holy Spirit in our prayers. He's the one that motivates. He's the one that enables. He's the one that energizes. He's the one that can drop something in your spirit that you never even thought of. And it is so, so, so amazing. So he says, pray in the spirit and pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for them. Now, again, let's don't get that, now lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to take. Bless Brother Patrick. Bless Brother Benny. Bless Brother Wayne. I've done it, Lord. I'm going to sleep. Nope. That's not it. Y'all ready for some? Y'all ready for me to drop the plow again? I love this. I used this last week. Dear Lord, I pray for wisdom to understand, love so that I may forgive, and patience to deal with all. Because, Lord, if I pray for strength, I may kill someone. Seeing if y'all listening. I'm going to give you some ABCs so it'll be easy to remember. If you're praying for your brothers and your sisters and your wife and your children and your church, let's do some targeted prayer. They had to target that prayer in Japan. They had to target that prayer with the Moab. They had to target the prayer. Matter of fact, you know, I remember I worked with some Green Beret for a while. Not because I'm in the Green Beret. They wouldn't have me. They said I was too smart. No, the Army wouldn't have me. They wouldn't have me because I was colorblind. I can only do certain things. I said, no, we ain't going there. But these were Church of God preachers, and they were Green Beret trainers. And so I was having a little intense conversation with them because we were watching all these bombs on TV, smart bombs, hitting all these places in Desert Storm. And I said, man, that's got to be the most awesome, awesome, awesome stuff to watch them just guide it in there like they do with precision from that plane. Just, and he goes, no, it's not. I said, it's not. He says, no. He says, you know why? He says, because before they did the raid, for months they dropped the Green Beret. And we learned the language of the people. And we got in there and talked with the people. And we looked for all the places. And we finally found all the targets. And after we found all the targets, then we gave them the thumbs up that we had the targets. And because we looked like the regular people there with beards and long hair and looked like Iraqis, nobody ever said anything to us. And said on the night of the raid, we had our laser guns. And it said we painted the target so when the guy came in with the missile followed our target. I said, wow, that's awesome. The same way the Holy Spirit does. I may not know how to handle a situation you're in or a situation somebody else is in, but the Holy Spirit's already on the ground. He's already working it. He's already got the targets. He already knows what's going on. And if we'll pray, really pray, God can guide us in such a way that we hit bullseyes all the time. It's amazing. Totally amazing. So first, how am I going to pray for somebody? First, ask God for his assistance, empowering and directing and fulfilling his will so that the person will operate under biblical obedience and the Spirit's control. This is how I want you to pray for me. Pray this for me. I'm praying it for you. This is how you pray for each other, just the ABCs. I'm not going to go through the whole alphabet, just a few. Assistance. Next, pray for boldness. Pray that the person speaks the word of God with boldness, confidence, and articulate effectiveness. Pray that for me too, please. C, pray for comfort. That God will comfort one when they're discouraged, brokenhearted, or stressed out. Pray that the Lord will help them trust and obey regardless of the opposition. Please pray that for me. Because I promise you, I prayed this for y'all last night. I pray this for this service today. I pray this when we go out of here, that y'all got the ABCs going along. Amen. I'm not talking about the Jackson 5 ABC. Easy as 1, 2, 3. No, I'm talking about this. Just a few more. D, direction. Ask the Lord that the person will sense God's specific direction in activities, ministries, and relationships. Pray for direction for those people. Please pray it for me. What sometimes you think is an opportunity is actually a roadblock that Satan is allowing to be put up, because if he can't stop you, at least he'll deter you and keep you off target. Remember, the Holy Spirit's already on the ground. Just like the Green Beret. He's already in it. He knows what's going on. And finally, encouragement. Ask God to send someone or something to that person to allow the person to be a blessing to many. Trust God in renewing of the joy of the Lord as their strength. I prayed for my dad. I told you last week when DC had been there, and if DC hadn't been there, Dad would have died. DC's in the mountains. I've been praying this whole time, God take care of Dad, because Dad's had health problems. He just had his toe removed, and that causes more health problems. And all this is going on, and DC's over. I thought I was going, but my department didn't go. His department did go. He went over there, and he was to come back from Monday to Monday, but instead he came back on Friday because he had already done such a good job of what he was supposed to do. They sent him on home. And so he says, Dad, I need to go to Granddaddy's. I feel that need to go to Granddaddy's. Please give me his address in Greensboro. So I sent it to him. And we're talking on the phone. And he looks up and says, Daddy's out there. My daddy's out there doing what he's not supposed to be doing. He's out there working in the yard. And I said, go get him, son. And just a few minutes later, I bet it wasn't 5 minutes later, DC calls me and says, Granddaddy just collapsed. He says, I know what to do. I said, I know you do, son. Also, because he said it was out of his, I reckon, jurisdiction or something out of Beaufort County. I said, well, call 911 too, so you got some backup. And I told my daddy, I said, Daddy, do you realize every time you've gotten sick over the last few years, God's always sent somebody? He said, I've noticed that. I said, you think it's got something to do with your kids praying for you every day? Every day. Every day. He says, well, I reckon it could be. I said, no, Dad, it is be. This is how we ended it last week. We're going to end it the same way this way. DC, come up and play something. Our prayers may seem awkward. Sometimes our attempts may seem feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears, not in the one that says it, but in the one who hears, he knows our hearts, but he wants us to accept the challenge to bring it to him and to acknowledge our need. And watch what God will do. I'm going to tell a little story about this right here, the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to have an altar call. I pray the Lord's Prayer all the time, anyway, every morning. My wife and I pray it. If something's going on, we'll pray it. Especially since when I was at Lee University, I was taught that that's one of the things the disciples did at the hour of prayer when they went to the temple two or three times a day, or the synagogues, they prayed the Lord's Prayer. And I pray it in the heroin unit. And one day, something very amazing happened. I said, y'all guys, there was a lot of pain in that. A lot of pain, new guys, there was a whole lot of pain there that day. And a whole lot of unanswered questions. Matter of fact, one of the guys had been released, and in a couple of weeks he had died. They're hurting because he had died. They're hurting because of their own problems. And they're hurting new guys coming in with their, hadn't had a chance to get in there yet and work on it. And I said, how many in here would like to pray the most powerful prayer in the world? And guys looked at me, and at first they put their hand up, and then they went. I said, what's wrong? Don't you think you can do that? It scared them. I said, you can do this. Matter of fact, I'm going to lead you. And I said, okay. And so we locked fist to fist to fist. And just like here, what we're getting ready to do in a little while, I said, who brought us here? And said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as God is my witness, as we got about halfway through, I felt it and I looked. And some of the guys were doing like this. And some of the other guys, they were shaking. They were shaking under that power. I just told them it's the most powerful prayer. I didn't know that this was going to take place. It looked like a little day of Pentecost going on because people were shaking. And they were trying to talk. And some guys couldn't even talk. And when we finally got through saying that prayer, they went, whoa! Did you feel that? And I said, yeah, I felt that. They said, what was that? I said, God showed up and he showed off. You don't have to be the greatest preacher in the world, the greatest speaker in the world to pray the Lord's Prayer. Let's go ahead and pray it together and then we'll dismiss in prayer. But let's everybody stand up. We're going to pray this prayer, and then I'm going to ask some questions, then we're going to be dismissed. Let's say this together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those that debt against us, Lord. I ask you, God, and do not lead. I'm trying to read that. That's not how I do it. So I'm going to go back my way. Ready to do it over again. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Give the Lord, go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap and thank him for that prayer. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, maybe you're here today and you're not as close to God as you used to be, and maybe it could be that you're not praying. You're not talking with him. I'm a marriage counselor, and many of the marriages that come to me and we work on it, the biggest thing that happened was they stopped communicating. The same way when the Bible says in the last day there's going to be a great falling away. That word falling away means divorce. There's going to be a lot of people that quit talking to God. And they don't know what God is trying to tell them. And they no longer crave his statutes, but they do their own thing. And they divorce their covenant with God without even knowing it sometimes. If you're here today and you don't want to be in that falling away, you're here today and somehow, some way, you know that you and God are not where y'all need to be together. Nobody looking around, every eye shut. Would you put that hand up and say, pray for me. Pray for me. I need to be right there where it's supposed to be. I need to be right in there. I need to talk to God and I need to be able to hear him talk back. I want to be able to pray in the Spirit. I want my heart and his heart to interlock. His spirit, my spirit to interlock so that I can hear from him clearly when I'm in need. Bless them, Lord, bless them. Maybe you're here today and you may have calmed down your praying or just did superficial prayers. And you don't think God's moving for you anymore. That's why. I challenge you today to not only pray for yourself, but pray for all those around you, your family, your friends, your church. If you don't know how to pray, one thing, say the Lord's Prayer. Number two, take that what I just showed over here and pray it for your friends and your family and your church. The ABCs. And watch what God will do. If you're here today and you just need God to bolster you up, to strengthen you, to encourage you, with nobody looking around, would you just put those hands up? I just need to be encouraged. I just need to be encouraged. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Now, we're going to pray together. Then we're going to dismiss in prayer. Y'all pray with me. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you, God, that you have sent your grace and your mercy on the cross. And we don't have to live in shame and we don't have to live separated from you. I thank you, God, that prayer is not a monologue, but it's a dialogue. And help us, God, to hold on to that and to never stop praying. Lord, forgive me for putting you on a shelf. Father, instead, let me crawl in your pocket. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, this day is a new day. And I thank you for it. Praise God, church. Give the Lord a hand clap. Brother Wayne, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?